Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Have you ever heard someone say there is power in prayer? Like many well-meaning statements, this one sounds very good, but it's not quite correct. And if you think about it, it really doesn't bring any comfort, because then prayer simply becomes a work that you must do in order to reap a benefit. Just as faith has no value unless it is faith in Christ, prayer itself has no value unless it is prayer made in faith to the only God who hears and answers prayer. So it's not that there's power in prayer, it's that there's power in the one who answers prayer. In the gospel lesson, you heard Jesus' prayer to his Father for his disciples and for those who would believe in him because of their message. He prays, "I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you gave me, I have given to them, that they may be one even as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved them even as you loved me." This unity is not for the disciples' enjoyment as much as it is for the sake of the unbelieving world. So that the unbelieving world, when they see the disciples' unity and oneness, may also see the Father's great love. You know that it's quite rare when any gathering of people agree on everything. As close theologically as the pastors are in this circuit, if you want to hear a good discussion with a number of heated disagreements, just come to one of our circuit meetings or to one of our Thursday morning studies. And watch what happens there. If these disagreements happen among those who are very close theologically, then they are bound to happen between those who cannot agree that God's word is the only infallible truth. Of course, unity doesn't mean that there is complete agreement in all things in this life. In fact, this unity that Jesus is talking about really is an article of faith that is believed and not always seen. True unity and oneness is only found in Jesus Christ, and it can only be given by His Holy Spirit. As Christians, we certainly strive to unite with other Christians where there is agreement on God's Word. But where there is no agreement on God's Word, neither can there be true unity. Concord for the sake of appearances doesn't please God. It doesn't fool Him either. Jesus prays in the prayer that you heard that those who proclaim His word may be one, so that the world can see it and believe that His word is true. But you know good and well that the devil is alive and active, and his attacks on Christ's church never end. And you also know that because we who are in the church are poor, miserable sinners, what the world often sees when it looks at this church on earth that bears the name of Christ can hardly be described as unity. They see bickering and fighting and selfishness and hypocrisy, and they don't want anything to do with it. Thanks be to God, therefore, that convicting the world of sin and bringing them to faith is the work of the Holy Spirit. That happens through the means of the Word and the sacraments, in spite of our bickering and fighting, in spite of our selfishness and hypocrisy, in spite of our laziness and sin. The Holy Spirit points us to Jesus. Jesus shows us the Father and makes the Father's love for us and for the world known by dying for our dividedness and our selfishness and our sin. The Father goes on to give us all good things and to make us brothers and sisters and heirs of heaven in His Son, Jesus Christ. I know that I've shared with at least one of the weekly Bible classes that I really struggled with homesickness as well as other more physical sicknesses while Sarah and I were in India during college. Looking back at that experience, I have forgotten some of those unpleasant things and some of the struggles, and I can honestly say that I enjoyed the experience and that it truly changed my life. But while I was there, I never did get used to being so far away from my parents and from my brothers and sister. Each week, though, as Sunday morning dawned, our little group of Americans gathered with Lutheran brothers and sisters in Christ to receive the Lord's gifts in His house. And even though the divine service was in a different language, I can't even begin to express to you my great joy when the familiar words and music of TLH page 5 and 15 began to be played. There were, of course, still many differences. The men were seated on one side of the congregation, the women on the other. They used hand drums and out-of-tune pianos, and they had lots of incense. But you know what? It was the same Lord that they confessed. It was the same gifts that they received, the same forgiveness of sins that they shared. Even though I was half a world away from my family, I was reminded that we were united in a much more beautiful way than just being physically near to one another. We were united in Christ. And then those thousands of miles between us completely disappeared. Last week, I reminded you how the devil works to keep you from coming to this place to receive Christ's gifts, how he works especially hard on the newly baptized and confirmed. I told you that it was my constant prayer that at the last day, when the trumpet sounds, each one of you would be standing there with Jesus in glory. But before it was my desire and prayer, it was Jesus' desire and prayer. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, may be with me where I am, to see my glory that you have given me because you love me before the foundation of the world. He didn't only pray for this. He went out and gave his life to make it possible. You know that sometimes brothers and sisters argue and fight. But I maintain that the German proverb is quite true. Blood is thicker than water. However, it's not our common ancestry from Noah or our pure bloodline from Abraham that unites us as brothers and sisters on this day. It is something much messier and someone much more powerful. We are united in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. The devil is real, and he hates it when people are united around Christ and his word and sacraments. The world is a very dangerous place, and they continue to be united in their unbelief and with unrepented hearts. Your sinful flesh struggles every day to gain the upper hand in the battle that rages within you. But take heart. Jesus has defeated the devil. He has united his church around his spoken and visible word. He has overcome the world, and by his Spirit has called you to faith and to repentance. And he has given you his peace. He has washed each one of you and cleansed you in his precious blood. And he has also given himself for you to eat and drink. Come then to your Lord's altar and celebrate our common union in Christ. Come knowing that your sins are forgiven for Christ's sake. Come believing Jesus' promises about this meal. And join here with angels and archangels and people in India and China and Europe and Africa and South America, people in Missouri and in Billings, and with all of the company of heaven singing the praises of him who died and who rose from the dead for your life and salvation. In spite of our many differences, we really are one in Jesus Christ. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guards and keeps your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.